Good afternoon, I'm Roger Watterson with an election special for Douglas East. This coming Thursday, November the 12th, will be election day in the House of Keys constituency of Douglas East. A by-election has been brought about by the retirement of Mrs. Brenda Cannell in October this year. She served the constituency since 1996. The other serving member is Chris Robertshaw. Next September, at the time of the 2016 general election, the boundaries will be changed, so this is the last time a poll will be taken in the constituency as it is now. Douglas East is the traditional home of the Isle of Man's tourist industry, and its large number of hotels, guest houses and rental properties, many converted holiday accommodation, is thought to be the reason for historic low election turnouts. The numbers turning out for this election will be critical, as there are seven names on the ballot paper. Just a few votes will make the difference, as illustrated in the recent Glenfaber by-election when the successful candidate was elected by a margin of just three votes. Those of you in Douglas East will have received or about to receive a manifesto from each of the would-be politicians laying out their views, concerns and promises. And to encourage you to go to vote and to help you to decide who to vote for, all seven of the candidates are with me today in the studio for this live election special. One of them will become the next member of the House of Keys with the responsibility of representing not only Douglas East but the entire nation. They are, in alphabetical order, registered nurse Claire Betterson, businessman Kurt Buchholz, advertising copywriter and author Richard Falk, postal worker John Jockin, company director John McBride, and teacher Geraldine O'Neill, and Douglas councillor and charity worker coordinator Catherine Cat Turner. As is customary in these programmes, we shall discuss a variety of political issues. But first, I'll call on each candidate again in alphabetical order to talk to us uninterrupted for 1.5 minutes on any topic of their choice. So, we start with Claire Betterson. Claire, may we hear what you have to say?
Hi there. Yeah, my name's Claire Betterson. I'm a 31-year-old nurse working up at Nobles Hospital and living within the Douglas East constituency. I moved to the island as a choice. I've loved the island for many years and I've been spending many happy holidays here since childhood. I've worked in the health service throughout my adult life and it's given me a real insight into the strengths we have, the challenges we face, and I really feel on the island that there are areas that we do need to improve within the health service and across other frontline services. I think that with friends working in various other industries and services, I've seen that a lot of the efficiencies and inefficiencies are similar throughout those areas and could be used across the board. I think we need to cut waste. I think we need to improve efficiency. And I really want to work to make Douglas East a great place for people to live, for people to visit, and for the tourists as well, not just for people on the island. I think it's absolutely vital that we bring more money into the island through the economy and through tourism. I think we need to promote the island as somewhere where people know where it is. I think we're starting from quite a low base. People off island just don't know where the Isle of Man is. They often mistake it for the Isle of Wight. I think we really need to do a good promotional exercise for our island if we want to bring money into the island, into the economy and into our services.
Right, that was Claire Betterson. And now we turn to Kurt Buchholz.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Kurt Buchholz. I was born in 1954, studied at the University in Hamburg and got my degree in economics and the officer's license in 1981. After that, I had a successful career in maritime business and was a captain for many years. In 1969, I came the first time to the Isle of Man. My wife Amanda, née Costain, our daughter Millie and I live in Douglas. From 2001, I continued my professional career here on the Isle of Man, working for multinational companies in senior management positions. I needed the right skills, which are still my strengths. Leadership, fast thinking, confident decision maker, motivation of people and making compromises. People who work with me describe me as being tough but fair. As a business or political leader, I will set targets to grow the economy and to develop solutions to achieve them. I'm a strong person and will protect the vulnerable and the weak on the Isle of Man. I have years of experience leading people and to make the right changes to break up inefficient structures. Having fought numerous boardroom battles, I will not be intimidated by ministers or other members of this government. My message is this: we need to do things differently and more efficiently. To do this, we need competent and strong politicians who apply common sense. I'm offering my experience and skills to bring the Isle of Man back on course and to break the inherited incompetence in this government. I would appreciate if you could give me your trust and vote for me.
Thank you. That was Kurt. Now, the next to speak is Richard Falk.
The theme of my campaign is no more business as usual. The island's finances are in a precarious position. Our public sector pension liability is now £3 billion. Manx Utilities has debts of £497 million. The government is continuing to spend wildly on capital projects. They've earmarked £21 million for the refurbishment of the promenade, including £4 million simply to move the horse tram tracks. We also have a very negative international outlook. World powers are continuing to crack down on tax avoidance, with the offshore finance industry generating 34% of our GDP and nearly 25% of all our jobs. Similarly, the USA seems determined to destroy the e-gaming sector, and that represents another 17% of our GDP. We also face risks if the United Kingdom decides to leave the European Union, which would restrict our access to their financial markets, and would be in a great deal of trouble if Jeremy Corbyn were elected Prime Minister, as his financial advisor is Richard Murphy, the retired accountant turned arch critic of the Isle of Man, who is somehow now perceived as an economist. If you elect me as MHK on the 12th of November, I can promise you that I mean business, because if things don't change, we're out of business.
Now, from Richard Falk to John Jocker.
Good afternoon. I'm a 55-year-old postman. I've worked for the post office for 30-odd years. I have had the pleasure of representing Douglas in Victoria Ward as a town councillor, at which time I was on the housing committee, I was the deputy mayor, and I was sat on the executive committee, and I also represented the local government board's pension scheme as the chairman. I've also run my own business. I ran the Peel Post Office with my wife for 12 years, and at my time in the post office, I've been the chairman and the branch secretary of the CWU union. I sit on employment tribunals as the independent member, and I've lived in Douglas East for the past 25 years, lived and worked in Douglas East. I decided to stand for the vacant seat in Douglas East as a local independent councillor, independent, and I believe I have the experience to hit the ground running. Which will be a very short time of office.
Okay. Right, thank you, John. And now, that was John Jocker. Now, he was the fourth of our candidates, and the fifth is John McBride.
Good afternoon, I'm John. I'm a company director. I've organised the setting up of businesses both on and off the island in the motor trade, which is the industry I've been in all my life. Basically, I see the island at the moment as a bit of a crossroads, and we need to basically go back to basics, and we need to have a strong economy again. If we don't have a strong economy, we can't afford all of the services which we really need to make the island tick. I'd advocate a strong back to basics approach and growing the tourism industry, because that basically has an effect on both visitors and residents. If residents are happy in their environment, we can certainly grow the economy. We've got 900 vacancies at the moment which are unfulfilled, and speaking to people around the constituency, they're struggling to get staff. And if they're struggling to get staff, it's because people don't want to come here to live. And it's up to the government to create the environment for business to grow, just like a gardener or a farmer would prepare the field or the garden for growth. Our government has to prepare the island for growth, and that's what I intend to do by working with like-minded MHKs if I'm elected, and we will hopefully see growth within the next few years.
Right, well, thank you. That was 1.5 minutes from John McBride, and now 1.5 minutes from Geraldine O'Neill.
My name is Geraldine O'Neill. Good afternoon. I was born in Douglas East and I stood for election in 2011. Most of the issues that were relevant then are still relevant today. I continue to have family and work ties in the community. Many of my past pupils and their families live and work in the community. I'm well known in the community. Douglas, for me, is the nucleus of the island and an essential gateway in our economic prosperity. The core issues that constituents have brought up to me while I've been campaigning are job security, issues of budgets in health and education, our treatment of our senior citizens, and short-term cuts which have detrimental long-term effects on our population. The sustainability of our economy. In my varied career in education, I'm a linguist. I've also have experience in international trade consultancy. I've been a recruitment consultant, and presently I'm also the trade union representative, branch secretary for the NASUWT. In all of those roles, I've used my negotiation skills, my pragmatic skills, my ability to analyse and to problem solve. I feel these skills would be essential in the role of an MHK, especially facing the challenges we have today.
Right, that was Geraldine O'Neill, and the final contributor is Liberal Vannin's Kat Turner.
Hello, hi, yes. People call me Kat, my full name's Catherine Turner. I'm a 50-year-old single mother of two little girls living in Douglas and campaigning for Liberal Vannin because it's the party whose values really appeal to me very strongly. So for me, key issues include at a national level the need to look at how our government operates. The people that I've been speaking to while I've been out campaigning these past couple of weeks have expressed a real sense of cynicism. They don't feel that the current administration is serving them well, and that's a stronger sense than I've ever heard before. So that to me is very telling. They're hankering after a more transparent approach, a government that is accountable and understands that it's there to serve people, not to rule them. So there is a real need for more openness and more listening to the people as well, I think. It's important that government remembers that it's not just those in business and at the top end of society, but those in the squeezed middle and the lower ends who are important. They are full parts of our economy, and they really need to hear their voices heard, even if they're not on the electoral roll. And I've been also very struck by the number of people who were amazed to find that they weren't on the electoral roll while I was doing the rounds. In terms of our business and economy, it's always really heartening when we hear things like 4% GDP growth, but you need to get behind those figures. So GDP growth can be contributed to things by things that are actually very unhelpful.
Right, well, thank you, Kat. All seven of our Douglas East candidates have now introduced themselves to you. So now's the time to explore just some of their political views, policies and future plans. And I think we can start that off again by tackling it in alphabetical order, at least. Claire, you're going to get the chance to kick off.
Right.
So, Claire, tell me, in your manifesto, you said that one of the things you were campaigning for was an island-wide approach to engaging all citizens before the next general election. Well, what's that? What's that going to be? After all, you have just about a year, if you're lucky, to do that. What are we going to do?
Absolutely. We're going to have a full canvas, which the government will issue to get people onto the electoral roll. It has become absolutely obvious to myself and the other candidates when I've spoken to them that there is a huge discrepancy between the people on the list and the people living in the houses. People aren't aware. They may have missed opportunities to get on the list. And I think that there is a responsibility to help people to engage in the political process where they want to. The people on the doorsteps want to have a vote. They want to have a say. They missed an opportunity. There was no reminders sent out. There seems to be people who had submitted forms and the relevant forms weren't in the right departments at the right times, and they're not on the list, so those people now don't have their say.
Right, so this is really setting your stall out for the general election.
Yeah, I think it's key. Obviously, with the short time we had in the run-up to this by-election, there wasn't the opportunity to get people on the list because of the way that the legislation is written, that you can only do the canvas to get extra people onto the roll at set points throughout the year. With a general election, you get a little bit more of a lead up prior to the election to do that. So I think the prime opportunity is for next year, but it certainly made me aware of that concern for the people of Douglas East and the island, I imagine, as a whole.
I think that's absolutely right. I've been surprised by the level of anger that people have expressed. Some who find they're not on the list when they thought they were, and actually some who find they're on the list when they hadn't realised it. But what we need to do is talk to people and find out what works for them. So we need a system that helps people get on the electoral roll, not in a manner that's just convenient for government and administration, but that actually works for people who might miss a single letter coming through their letterbox or whatever it might be.
Can I say that I brought this issue up after the previous general election? I actually went and had a meeting in the Chief Secretary's office and brought up all of these issues, and I was really surprised to find that things in fact were worse than they were in the general election on this list. My concern also is, as I said before, we've given the vote to 16-year-olds. This process is outdated. It needs to be updated. We need to be able to register to vote online, and we should have an opt-out system, not an opt-in system.
The government should not be taking people off the electoral rolls, which they're effectively doing at the moment. We need a proper electronic register. All you have to do is put your passport one number in or your driving licence number in, and you can go automatically onto the thing. We're using a paper electoral roll. We're walking around with a piece of paper. That is what the electoral roll is, a piece of paper. It's ridiculous in this day and age. This modern day and age, we're walking around with a paper roll. I was issued with three sets of electoral rolls. Each one was different. I had a PDF form, an Excel form, and a paper form, and not one of them matched up.
All from the same source?
All through the same source.
Yeah. I think it shows the incompetence and inefficiency of this government, because this issue was not brought up 5 years ago. It was brought up a long time ago. So it's very simple. The government should know who's living in a constituency, and they know this by sending us tax forms, because we have to declare our tax. So they know where you are. When you want to elect, when you want to go to an election, you are entitled to elect when you fulfill certain requirements. And then you ID yourself with a passport or with something. And that is a very simple system that works in other countries, and it doesn't work here. Here you have to register yourself again, and then you have to get a ballot paper or some papers that you can vote. It's extremely complicated and extremely bad, I would say.
Okay. Now, I think you, John, wanted to say something, and then we need to move on.
I think we're ignoring the elephant in the room, really, which is that a lot of people do feel disenfranchised. A lot of people I've spoken to don't want to vote. They've had enough. They really, and I find that really sad, that they don't really want to use their vote, which they have registered for, to change the island. And that is one of the biggest issues, more so than people being on the electoral roll. They feel disenchanted with government. They feel that whatever they do, they're not getting a response from government.
Yes, I agree.
Right.
I actually don't agree with that at all. The people I have spoken to are very, very interested in voting. I think it's the system that's wrong. And also in a democracy, the problems with voting and getting people to come out and vote, the way to do that is to encourage people to vote. And that's why we do need an electronic system. And also to engage people in understanding politics in the Isle of Man, from an educational point of view, we need actually to be teaching our young people what it means and what Tynwald is about.
Now, I think we better move on to one or two more subjects. Now, Kurt, on your manifesto, the first page, you said, let's get back on course. Now, with a growth in the overall economy and a low unemployment rate, tell us how we're off course.
I would like to describe that again with a ship or with a maritime term. When you have a ship and you're running aground, which we are doing with the economy and with the whole welfare being on the Isle of Man, you have to get rid of ballast to make the ship afloat again. So what do you do in shipping? You just discharge some ballast water. And here we have to discharge the ballast, which is the government. It's a government inefficiency. It's an overburdening bureaucracy. And we have to get rid of people which are not efficient. And we have to get rid of people who are duplicating work. So I'm very strict with this one, where I say we have to reduce the ballast. And the ballast is not young people. The ballast are not the old people, which Mr. The Chief Minister calls a burden. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. The people who are a burden are the people in the government who spend money and waste the money. That's how we get the ship afloat again.
But the system, the overall system of administration in the Isle of Man, is a traditional one, which has been inherited from the UK systems. It'll take a long time. You may be able to discharge ballast quickly in a ship, but you won't get rid of it quickly in government.
Yes, you can. When you think about people who tell you we have always done it that way, these are the people you have to target, and you have to change them, or you have to change the people.
Richard?
I think Kurt's shipping analogy is actually insufficiently alarmist. I think we're more like a small yacht with a Ben McCree bearing down on us. The government has a public sector pension liability, as I've stated, of £3 billion. That is a black hole large enough to swallow the entire island. Its other debts, as I've said, Manx Utilities Authority, are out of control. And also internationally, we're facing a very unfavourable climate. Things really do have to change. We have to trim our spending so that it aligns with what we can earn through tax revenues. And we must start promoting our message to the world in a much more positive way in terms of our offshore finance industry and also e-gaming.
How would your presence in Tynwald contribute to that?
My background is as an advertising copywriter. I work with big agencies, including the Saatchi Group and J. Walter Thompson in London. My experience is in synthesising ideas and presenting concepts to diverse audiences, and I think that will be very useful in presenting the Isle of Man's message to the world.
Gerald?
I think we have to be very careful, though, sending out a negative message. I mean, if you want people to go into politics, and you're saying you want to go into politics yourself, well, you need to go in there with some positive things as well. The financial constraints, we're all aware of the financial constraints. We're all aware of the budgetary constraints. But we can actually solve issues. And this is a wonderful place. I'm a Manx person, very proud to be Manx. I'm very proud of this island. And we have fantastic natural resources here. We have a fantastic population that we need to listen to. We need to listen to expertise from people, because you go around the constituency, there are people who have really good ideas on how to solve problems. But we need to be sending out a positive message. Otherwise, it's all doom and gloom. And I personally don't think that's the way forward.
Well, the strength of the Isle of Man in the past has been its stability. Richard, don't you think perhaps that you're not doing it any favours by knocking? After all, this is a very public affair, election.
It's certainly not a case of knocking the Isle of Man. I made a conscious choice to move here 10.5 years ago. My honeymoon with the island hasn't ended. It was definitely the right decision. But we have to be realistic. I don't think there's any point in sugarcoating the message. And I think there are candidates in this election and in other elections who don't seem aware of the enormity of the challenge we face. And unless we accept we have a serious problem, we're not going to be able to deal with it.
Well, John, you said, "I firmly believe that our island cannot continue to head down the direction it's taken over the last few years, and a change must come in terms of just how we do business, but also the way our elected representatives engage with the public at large." And that's another step along the line from what these two gentlemen have been saying.
Well, nobody more than you knows about how many local government board reforms we've had over the past 30 years. Every government that comes in says it's going to reform local government. We had it, it was there ready to be signed, and they pulled it. They pulled it out. It's not going to go through this parliament. I mean, the local government board, the local government's authorities need to be reformed and reduced, and the 5 and 5+1 or the 4+1, it doesn't really matter which one it is, but providing it's reformed. But it is, however, important from a history point of view is that you still keep the figureheads, the captains of the parishes and stuff like that, that to go onto Tynwald Hill, because that is an historic event. So you have to keep that bit, in my opinion. But the reforms and local government board and the savings that will come from that. And just to get back to Richard's pension liabilities, it's a liability. It's not a debt. It's a liability. So you need to restructure them liabilities, which you can do. And pensions, they run for 70, 80 years, pension schemes. If you address that liability now, you can address it over the past 80 years. So that's what you need to do with that liability and the pension fund. The government should set up a fund for the pensions, and the money that's generated from the fund should be reinvested.
Without
in the
any
fund.
Change to the way pensions, particularly public service
pensions,
are dealt
with?
Yes,
you'd have to restructure them as well. Yeah, but right. If you address it now and stop burying their heads in the sand, which they have done for the past 20 years, all the meetings I've gone to with the government over pensions over the past 20 years, they have still not acted on one thing.
And how would you make a difference?
The difference that I would make was I would set up a fund. We were talking specifically about pensions, yes. We need to set up a fund, and a fund administrator, and a financial
John, where would the fund contributions come from for this?
It's coming from at the moment, which is his reserves.
Right.
So you wouldn't take out the £3 billion from reserves.
We don't have a government fund. We have the United Scheme, which is the fund, the government United Scheme.
No fund, there's reserves.
Well, those were, they've set it up for all the different groups that they've tried to, well...
There's only two funds, and that's the Local Government Board Fund and the Alamann Post Office Fund, and they are funded pension schemes.
I think whatever you call it, whether you call it a fund or a reserve, we don't have the money for it. The issue is, if you set up a fund, you need to have a source of financing for it, and with a £3 billion liability, I don't see how we're going to finance that. I think the only answer is to get the liability down.
Yeah, I'm finding this really interesting, this discussion about economy, and something from every single person who's spoken to agree with, yes, we need to plug these financial black holes. Yes, we need to lose fat. Yes, we need more sustainable and sticky jobs than those that could go at the swipe of a draftsman's pen. But GDP growth alone is a bit of a blunt instrument, and it's actually a bit of a last century instrument. You have to ask yourself, what is an economy for? An economy is there to serve the interests of the people. And so blunt instruments like GDP growth, which can be inflated by very bad events, so car crashes create GDP growth, but we don't necessarily want them, you have to get behind it and say, I like to think of it as economy plus. So are we enhancing the well-being of the people in the Isle of Man? And there we have to measure their feelings of security in their jobs, not just whether we've got lots of jobs, but are they secure? Are they paying people enough? Maybe not too much, but enough. Or is that GDP growth masking rising inequality, people who are just hanging on, including in the squeezed middle, a degrading environment, sliding mental well-being, sliding physical well-being, all those things. And so I'd like a more evolved approach, as many other countries are adopting, actually. And the Isle of Man is a perfect place to trial that.
Now, I'm sure we could talk about this subject to the end of the programme, but let's see if we get one or two more issues in now by moving to John McBride. John, in your manifesto, you say that you actually support the encouragement of increasing the population. The Chamber of Commerce reckons we're going to need 15 to 20,000.
Yes, I do.
And you're happy with immigrants in that sense?
We do need more people contributing to the tax pot, basically. Mm. And we can't go on with people who aren't contributing to the tax pot, and that's not their fault because they don't earn enough money to pay in. So basically, we do need more people on the island to create more opportunities for retail, more opportunities for leisure, more opportunities for everything, which will increase the economically active population of the Isle of Man. And that, in turn, will increase the economy or improve the economy in a positive way. Because saying that we've had 30 years of continuous economic growth is just a misnomer. And as Kat says, basically, yes, we have had 30 years of economic growth, but Where's the receipts to government? Where's the receipts? Where's the benefit to the population? It's not being passed on to the population.
But surely if you increase the population by bringing people of this nature in, and you're talking about 20,000, 15,000, 20,000 economically active individuals, they're not all single. They'll come with a large amount of dependencies and family and other issues.
Of course they will. But that in turn, I mean, children even contribute to the economy one way or the other. So people buy things for their children, they organise parties for their children. It increases the whole movement of money around the island, and we need to keep that money on the island, and it improves life for everyone.
I think it's important that we do bring more people to the island who can contribute and, as you say, are economically active. And I think with children coming, I think it's great as long as they then go away, they maybe study at university, they come back. And I think we need to look closer at how we actually facilitate that by maybe looking into schemes where people go off island, where we have skill needs on the island, and they get a fully funded degree in the appropriate course, but they sign a contract saying they will come back to the island for a given period of time afterwards to ensure that we allow them to actually come back and contribute. What happens at the minute, I think, in a lot of cases, is they go off island and they leave. And if we need to do that with mutual schemes where they actually get the opportunity to spend a short amount of time off island within the subsequent time after their qualification, then they do that to keep their skills up. Certainly within nursing that would work.
I agree, and they should have the opportunity to come back.
Yeah.
This is the problem. We need to create opportunities for these people to work, which we don't at the moment, unfortunately.
Geraldine?
Well, I just want to say about the population expansion, what seriously worries me about that is, obviously, you'd have to have the infrastructure in place for that. Yeah, we already have very threatened budgets in education and in health. We're barely, you know, existing with the budgets that we have. I mean, how on earth would we finance the basic expenditure of our economy with a population like that? And also, it's obviously going to be a very long-term thing. I mean, 15,000 or 20,000 people are not going to arrive on the doorstep economically active in a very short period of time. So that's a very, very long strategic aim. More important, I think, than that is reform of the tax system. Reform of a system where the middle income people are paying for the vulnerable and we're also paying for the wealthy. We need to look at...
Well said.
We need to look at our tax for companies who are offshore companies here. We need to reassess that. We have a diversified economy here, unlike Jersey and Guernsey. We are much more sustainable in that area. So therefore, we need to look at that and not be afraid to tackle that very important issue.
Now, we've got to go to a break in just a moment, but Kurt, you wanted to speak.
Yeah, when I was here and was interviewed for this programme mandate, the gentleman who did the interview with me said to me, so you want to tell the people the truth, how bad it is? And after the interview, I was just shocked about that question. You know, obviously, everybody is so used that politicians are lying and not telling the truth that this raised his eyebrows. And he was saying to me, do you really want that we tell the people how bad it is? Yes, we should. Well, one point about your recommendation to bring 20,000 people over. You can do that. First, we have to see who are these people. And the main point is, what shall they do? Because we have to bring business over, and that's what we don't have. So in my opinion, we cannot do to try to streamline our business with the UK or with the European Union. We have to be separate. And what other countries have done is they establish separate economical zones or special economic zones. That's what we have to do. That's a market niche that we have. We have to bring the business, and then we have to bring the people. But we cannot bring the people without the business. And we cannot do this in a certain environment that we have at the moment.
And we can't bring people here. We can't expect people to come here and live when we don't have the retail work. or anything.
Work
we don't have the environment for them at all.
But actually, there are a whole range of new sustainable technologies that are really suited to island life and to an emerging economy, a low-carbon economy, that the Isle of Man could be a complete exemplar of. So that's what we need to encourage.
I think I'd like 2 points. First of all, the population increase. I think we have to be realistic. From what I can tell, the island's population is currently falling. One can barely give property away at the moment, the number of empty shops on Strand Street. We do need to replenish the population to some extent, but we have to accept that we are in a falling population situation at the moment. I'd also like to comment on what Geraldine said about taxing companies. Now, I think we need to be very careful here. A lot of the business that is here, the offshore finance industry, that 34% of our GDP, e-gaming, which is 17% of our GDP, and corporate services providers are here because of our tax neutrality. If we start taxing those companies, they will leave. We will have very serious problems. We've got to be very careful about not being populist here. We must be realistic. We could, in the long term, rebalance our economy and move towards other sectors, though I'm not immediately sure what they would be given our remote location. But I think the idea that we start taxing those types of companies, they will leave. There is no question about that.
Now it's time to take a short break in our discussion, and we'll be back with more from the candidates in the forthcoming Douglas East by-election in just 2 minutes.
Small to medium businesses, are you entirely happy with your accountant? Then talk to the experts at Nicola Bowker & Co. Arrange your free, no-obligation chat on 861 271 and see what Nicola Bowker can do for your business.
The Garage Door & Gate Automation Company.
For choice and service on automated gates, garage doors and more, we can't be beaten. And you can rely on our in-house, fully trained fitting team for a job well done. Visit us at Isle of Man Business Park, Cool Road. For a quote or to arrange your free no-obligation survey, call 624-122 or like and follow us on Facebook.
The Garage Door and Gate Automation Company for a job well done.
Organising your holiday money is so easy at Isle of Man Post Office. With the best local foreign currency rates, just visit our website, www.iompost.com/forex, where you can order your holiday money online and we'll deliver to your door the next day. Or you can collect at your local branch. And we'll buy back any of your unused foreign notes, commission free. Follow us on Twitter at IOM Post Office. Or for daily rates, visit iompost.com. Linking people and business worldwide.
ShopRite's the place for making your money go further. And now, we're doing the same for your day. Longer opening hours, so you can shop when it suits you. Like 8am till 10pm, 7 days a week at Onken, Castletown and Michael Street, Peel. Same at Douglas, Port Erin, Ramsey and Peel. But 9am to 6pm on Sundays. Your ShopRite. Now open longer, with everyday low prices, whenever it suits you to shop.
There's a by-election taking place to fill the vacant seat in the House of Keys brought about by the retirement of Mrs. Brenda Cannell. The voters of Douglas East will go to the polls this coming Thursday, the 12th, to decide which of the candidates will represent them. And all seven are with me in the studio today for this edition of Election Special and for a live discussion on just some of the issues that are of concern to them. They are, in alphabetical order, Claire Bettison, Kurt Buchholz, Richard Falk, John Jockin, John McBride, Geraldine O'Neill and Catherine Turner from the Liberal Fannin Party. Well, Kurt, could I go back to you again for a moment, please? Because featuring in your manifesto, and indeed in others around this table today, you focus a lot on air and sea routes, and you say very clearly that you think the new user agreement shouldn't be a matter of discussion with the steam packet, but should go out through a tender process. Why is that?
Yeah, I think everything on the Isle of Man, all the monopolies that we have to go through a tender process. Monopolies are always open for abuse, and that's what we can see here. The price, the ferry prices are so expensive compared to the ferry prices between the UK and Ireland. They're about a quarter of what the steam packet is charging here for freight. And the other monopolies that we have is fuel. There are only two companies who control the fuel market. There's one company that controls the electricity and one company that controls the gas market. And this is all not right. It has to go out into a tender process. And if we look back to Manx Telecom, when they had the monopoly, what happened after the monopoly was broken? Suddenly we had the choice and the prices went down. And that's exactly what will happen if we have this going through a tender process.
Right. Anybody else now? I know you've all passed comment on this in one form or another in your manifestos, but anybody like to pick up from there? John?
I know Bill Mulocky is doing something about the user agreement. He's wanting to renegotiate it. And yes, we really need to have a debate on it. And it needs to be public this time. Mm. Not just they say that it's a business matter and it can't be discussed in public. We really need to have a public debate on it and have a proper user agreement that everybody knows what's in the agreement.
Is the user agreement a form of regulation, Kurt? Because, I mean, they have to perform to certain standards within it, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. But that will also happen when we have an open tender process. So the companies that give the best offer, that could be well be the steam packet, they will get the contract. And that's what I'm interested in, because we will all benefit. All the goods and all the business we want to bring over have to go through this bottleneck with the steam packet over the ferry service. So once we have a better rate, we can bring business over that cannot afford to come over at the moment.
And part of that... Geraldine, go for it.
No, I mean, if we're talking about improving and sustaining our economy, then our transport links are vitally important in that, that they are competitive in a world market. Yeah. I mean, one of the biggest criticisms when people come here, the tourists that we have for TT, etc., is if they want to come back and they think the Isle of Man is a beautiful place to visit, that bringing families over or coming over on trips is really so expensive. We do have some more competitive routes now with EasyJet. Their route to Bristol, it's £40-45 return. That's very competitive. We need a lot more competition in our routes in and out of the island, because the other area that's been neglected totally in the economy, as far as I'm concerned, is tourism. I mean, tourism, there is no reason why the Isle of Man cannot have short stay tourism here. It's a world market, and it is something that does very well in other countries, and the Isle of Man is perfectly situated for that. But our transport links are really not competitive enough.
And is that what you think is the reason for it?
I do, yes.
It's not hotels or accommodation?
Well, that's an issue as well. Accommodation is an issue. But I also think, I agree with what Claire said earlier, that there's little known about the Isle of Man, and the fact that we don't have a Department of Tourism or Culture anymore, that it's all amalgamated with something else, it's sort of been lost in the sidelines. And I think it needs to get back to the centre, because it is a sustainable industry. It is not an industry that's just going to disappear if, you know, the economic circumstances are different. And we need to get back to promoting that industry.
We need to, yeah, there's an awful lot of truth in what Geraldine says about this fantastic island that we have and how we need to sing its praises. Just going back to what Kurt said about these major contracts and breaking of monopolies and the like, one thing that I'm really clear about is that where people are contracting with the government, we need to get away from this pernicious habit of relying on confidentiality clauses to avoid disclosing to taxpayers what is happening with their money. There may occasionally be cases where there is a proven need for it, but one of our terms for people submitting for tenders should be that there is disclosure of those terms so that people can see what they're getting for their money.
Telling the truth, exactly. Yeah.
Well, going back to tourism, as I've said before, I think tourism is definitely the key to revitalising our economy. And speaking to hoteliers, a lot of them have had enough of the steam packet. I mean, I don't necessarily share that view, but I believe that whatever happens, the steam packet do control the level of tourism which we can sustain on the island by the frequency of sailings and by the
reliability
and the cost. And during TT Week, we're limited by the number of tourists which they can carry on and off the island within a certain time.
Competition in shipping in the past nearly put both shipping lines out.
Yes, I agree. I don't advocate competition, unfortunately. I think we don't have enough customers at this point in time to be able to sustain two shipping lines. And that goes for a lot of industries. But I believe in firm agreements which must be met.
The great thing about tourism as well is that it brings other business opportunities. I can't tell you the number of people who come on holiday to the island and stay and bring their business models with
them.
Exactly. I think I'm a case in point. We came on holiday here for my whole childhood. Yeah. I fell in love with the island. I fell in love with the people. And once I'd done my qualifications and I'd got a skill that I felt I could bring to the island, I moved over here. I fear that we'll lose those people that would come here and work in a whole selection of industries if they don't feel they could get off the island easily in the case of emergencies, if they wanted to travel, if they wanted to visit relatives who are across in the UK or further afield even. I think it's absolutely vital that we keep these links strong. They are critical for the economy, critical for the people who want to come and work here, and critical for the tourism. And I say, I really think with tourism, we have missed a trick. We're sort of running before we can walk. If people don't know the Isle of Man exists, they are never going to come on holiday here. This, we have so much to offer. We've got a huge number of hoteliers in the constituency of Douglas East, and these people are really worrying that they aren't getting the business in, and they're actually having to drop their prices and almost subsidise the steam packet. Mm-hmm. This is absolutely crass. We need to be supporting all the people who can provide for our tourist industry and those people who will require that to maintain their livelihoods and have built up good businesses
how
in our constituency.
That, I mean, you as a member of the House of Keys, one member of 24, how are you going to make that fundamental change in an industry?
I think that, as was just said previously, I think with we need to look at the Department of Tourism being re-established in some form and actually have a focus on that. I think if you look at the economy of the island historically, we have booms, we have busts, we have different industries that come forward and move. The tourist industry slipped away when it became so much easier and cheaper to travel to continental Europe, and air travel became cheaper, you could get cheap hotels. At the minute, I think we have a very good opportunity to actually capitalise on the fact people are a little bit anxious about travelling further afield at the minute. And people want those opportunities to come and maybe explore somewhere closer to home. Okay. I've had a lot of people come and stay with me and they love this island.
John?
What bothers me is that people have expressed an interest in building a hotel here. Quite a lot of companies have come here during my time in the council, expressed an interest to build a purpose-built modern hotel on one of these sites that we've, not one of these many sites that we've got lying around Douglas, and the government have turned it down. I mean, we've had Ibis and Travel Lodge and Premier Inn, and they've all expressed an interest in building a hotel here, but it hasn't come to fruition.
What have they turned down, John?
What have they turned
down? Yeah, I mean, have they turned down planning? Have they turned down use of the land? What have they turned down?
You'd have to ask the government that. I have no idea why they turned it down.
I have to step in. I really feel that if we brought a massive hotel over as we stand at the minute, we would simply put our smaller business owners out of business, and that is not our aim.
Actually,
Getting back to what Kurt was saying, I think he's absolutely right. We do need competition in our markets. I support privatising Manx Electricity. I believe that as a private company, it would not have run up debts in the hundreds of millions of pounds. There certainly wouldn't have been £120 million of unauthorised borrowing, which happened when government took its eye off the ball. However, whilst I think competition is absolutely right for gas and electricity, I would like to break both monopolies. I don't think that for sea travel we actually have enough business to support more than one shipping line. I think the policy we've got, an open seas policy, would not be the way to go. Whether the steam packet is the right operator should be found out by way of competitive tender. I think that's absolutely right. We should be looking at the options.
So we have no historic loyalty here, then?
We do have a historic loyalty. We know what they're capable of. We also know what other operators are capable of. A case in point is Condor Ferries, which serves Jersey and Guernsey. Now, they've had a lot of problems of late. Their service was so disrupted a matter of weeks ago that they actually had to call police to Poole to stop the passengers from rioting.
Yeah, and I think they have the same shareholders like the steam packet, surprisingly. Yes. And what kind of loyalty do you mean? To a Portuguese company that owns a steam packet? I think we should be loyal to a Manx company. They're registered here, but they're owned by Portuguese people.
Well, I think the loyalty we show is to the Manx people.
We're talking about the fact that the steam packet, to an extent, controls perceptions, people's perceptions of the island. And in exactly the same way, so does a lot of the area of Douglas East. And some of it is looking very tired and unloved. So we owe it to the businesses that are located there and also to the people that live there to extend the good work that Douglas Council's doing in regeneration and looking after the town centre out to those areas where other businesses are located, their hotels and so forth, so that when people come to this tourist gateway of the island, or where people wake up there every morning to go to work, it's appealing, it's safe, the roads are safe, the pavements are safe. It needs some love and attention.
Those are the people that are going to market this island to the rest of the world.
Absolutely.
If the people here aren't supporting it and speaking positively about it, we haven't got a hope of selling it to people off island, and we have to help them.
I'd entirely agree with that. I think we certainly do need to make... Sorry, Roger.
Ladies and gentlemen, we could go on like this all day. It's a short programme, I'm afraid, and there are dozens of topics that we could discuss and keep on going, but we're running out of time. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we're almost at the end of this election special, and we've been discussing just some of your views, policies, concerns, and your future plans for all of you who are contesting the Douglas East by-election. Now, we've just enough time for one last word from all of you, when I'd like to ask you to give a very short, about 20-second answer to this question. Why should the voters of Douglas East invest their one vote with you? Well, we started the programme in alphabetical order, so we close it by going in reverse order, starting with you, Catherine Turner.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for this opportunity. I would really appreciate the votes of the people of Douglas East because I'd really like this opportunity to be of service to them and help build a robust, thriving, sustainable community that works for people.
John McBride.
Right. Well, if elected, I'd like to stand up and do my best to deliver what I say I do and use all of my knowledge and experience for the benefit of all constituents and treat them all and other MHKs with respect.
And Geraldine O'Neill?
If I was elected, I would really like to represent the people in the community because I'm part of the community and I know the community well. I think it's very important to listen to people. The disillusionment that's out there now, is the feeling that people are not being listened to, that's what I've heard back. And I would represent people in a fair manner.
And now John Jockin?
Yes, I would like to represent the people of Douglas East. I think I have the qualifications. I think I've had plenty of proven public service record. I think I've had the skills with being on the council and being on the union. I think I'd be a good representative for them. And it's time for a change anyway in Douglas East, I think. But if I did get elected, what I would purposely do is trying to regain the trust of the electorate because they have lost trust in their politicians.
Richard Falk.
I clearly recognise the problems at hand. I will speak out about them in the House of Keys and I will act as a true independent saying what needs to be said as I'm not concerned with being on the government payroll.
Kurt Buchholz.
Yeah, I think to identify the problems that we have is very easy. We all identify the same problems. But the question is then, How do you want to do the changes? So I think it needs experience, it needs competence, and this is why I'm offering my experience and my competence to create a better future for me, for my family, and for the people on the Isle of Man.
Claire Bettison.
Thank you, obviously, for having us all here. It's been a great experience, and I'd like to just put forward the fact that, obviously, working in the front line on the island, I've really had an opportunity to see firsthand some of the areas that we can make change. And I feel it would be my opportunity to make the island really great again so that other people can have the opportunities I had when I moved here.
Well, there we end this election special, in which seven candidates contesting the Douglas East House of Keys seat in the by-election brought about by the retirement of Mrs. Brenda Cannell have been discussing just some of the political matters of concern to them. They are Liberal Fannin's Catherine Turner and Independents Geraldine O'Neill, John McBride, John Jockin, Richard Falk, Kurt Buchholz and Claire Betterson. All of the polling stations will be open on Thursday at 12th of November from 12 o'clock till 8 o'clock, and I'll tell you which they are in the Man in Line later. If you'd like to hear again the comments of the candidates, you'll find that too on Manx Radio's website, and I'll give you those that information later too. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. The best of luck to you all. The programme was produced by Catherine Nicol, and I'm Roger Watterson.